Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You get new episodes just like this one sent to you every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Sarah McLachlan, Tracy Thorne from Everything But the Girl, Jeff Bridges, the dude himself was here, Finn Cole, starring in Last Breath and Peaky Blinders, the king of yacht rock, Michael McDonald. We also talked with Sophia Carson, Kyle Allen, and Sebastian D'Souza about The Life List on Netflix. Ben Barnes, who's going to be starring in The Institution, the Stephen King remake. He's also got his debut album out. Talib Kweli and Peaches, Hamilton Lighthouser, Damon Albarn from Gorillaz and Blur. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Justin Vernon, the introspective architect behind Bon Iver's ethereal soundscapes. Emerging from the solitude of a Wisconsin cabin, Vernon's debut album, For Emma, Forever Ago, introduced that haunting blend of falsetto and folk that captivated listeners, including myself. Beyond Bon Iver, his ventures span from the experimental rock of Volcano Choir to the soulful explorations with Big Red Machine, showcasing that relentless pursuit of sonic innovation. And recently, Justin's been involved in collaborations that bridge genre and artists. He co-wrote Haim's Everybody's Trying to Figure Me Out, and of course, working with Taylor Swift and Charlie XCX, just to name a few. They are back, Bon Iver, with Sable Fable. Maybe the most rootsy sound they've had in quite a while, but don't call it a pivot. In fact, Justin says it's less about reinvention and more about stripping away the layers. Less mystery, more clarity, fewer effects, more humanity. A song like Everything is Peaceful Love was the compass, and the rest followed. A sonic arc from Wisconsin cabin solitude to California sunshine. Justin opens up about the cinematic thread behind the album's cowboy vibe, the word change as a narrative fulcrum, and how music helped him stitch himself back together. He also talks about the influence of Ricky Lee Jones, the story behind that legendary Outfield cover that I always loved when they would do, and why Exile only works with Taylor Swift in the room, plus why Daniel Haim is his favorite American musician, hands down. All that and more as we discuss Sable Fable. It's Kyle Meredith with Justin Vernon of Bon Iver.
How's it going?
The record, it gets its hooks in you, man.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that.
I'll jump into the sound, right? Because let's start there. There is a rootsier sound that I guess we haven't heard in a while. Like, what drove you guys here?
I think that's a reaction to sort of, you know, being kind of going from minimal to maximal in the four records before this, and just trying to be basic, trying to be a little less, trying to have a little less coding in the sound, and a little less mystery to the lyrics. And I think that's what drove me, and not necessarily conceptually, but, you know, Peaceful Love kind of came out of really something really natural. And then I was like, you know what, I want to build around that for the Fable songs, and just kind of waited till songs like that came.
When the third or fourth listen, when I was listening, I kept getting this image in my head, and I thought, these are cowboy songs almost. Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah. I started like there's this they're a little alone at times, you know, they're a little regretful. It's what it sounds like at times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the cowboy riding off, you know, like, do you think of it in like, do you ever think of your songs in like cinematic terms like that?
I think for the first time, this one has that more of a visual story. I think, you know, Sable, that part of the record is very much, you know, man in black, you know, man in a cabin, solitary, you know, and Fable is really about that man making a decision to change his life, and to kind of go from his Wisconsin roots to shiny California, you know, the proverbial California. And literal. And so I think that's kind of what the arc of the story of the record is, really that, going from isolation into being found.
When you've realized there's an arc, because sometimes, rarely, do people go in thinking, I want to write the concept album, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. That's something you usually find out either after or if, you know, I think the most interesting is when you find out at some point in the middle of it, and then you make a decision. Mm-hmm. Is that how it worked for you? Like, do you hear it and then you go, oh, now we're going to finish it. What do I need to bring to this to finish the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, subconscious is the best vehicle. I heard Jeff Buckley say that one time. It's where everything pure comes from. Our conscious ego has a lot to say and distract us from that, you know, the natural truths of things. So you kind of have to get into it and let the water flow and see where the bones lie. And then it's a different muscle that you're exercising at that point. It's like, how do these relate? What is this story? And how do I take everything that's begun and take what I'm reading, you know, in the bones, so to speak, and put it all together.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Justin Vernon of Bon Iver. Award season. There's this way that you play with the word change. And I started to feel that, especially what you're talking about there, sort of ended up speaking for the whole album. Mm-hmm. Where are we in the story? And what is the importance of how you're playing with that word?
Well, man, I got to say it, I feel changed. I think I've been changed. And then you also, when somebody, you know, love comes into your life in any form, you get changed, and then you kind of have to catch up to that change. You have to mature and you have to accept that change. And that's not always easy to do. And sometimes people don't end up ever learning to accept the changes that have come into your life. And I think this album, it fixed me up. You know, it's not like I'm good forever or anything. There's another challenge or another changing around the bend. But for right now, this record really did explain what I've been through and how I got there and how I'm in one piece on the other side.
You could be good forever.
Could be. Yeah. Might as well be. I mean, I'm definitely digging my 40s a lot more than my 30s. It feels a little more sturdy.
I feel that. I think we're about to say, I'm
43.
I thought we were around this. I also, of course, got a, you know, award season because you name check Ricky Lee. Like, yeah. Her first two records are desert island albums for me. That's a That's what I was going to ask. Like, what's your Ricky Lee zone? What's your era?
I mean, I love those records. I love my favorite record, I think, is The Magazine. I love Flying Cowboys. I love The Horses is probably my second favorite song of all time. I think Ricky Lee is super, super influential on me. The way that she stacked her voice and how pocketed her music was and how expressive and different and how she took all these influences of jazz and brought them into this sort of pop and folk realm without it sounding like three different kind of gross genres. I just love her so much. And yeah, she's part of my story that's going on in that song.
See, I love knowing that now, because I'm sure I will hear that. I've always had this thing with you all, like, because early on you covered one of the great 80s songs with the Outfield. And because I got to see that live and hear it, I think fairly or unfairly, whatever, that somehow colored how I've heard your music forevermore. Like, that might have been a trivial moment for you. I don't know.
Nah,
but it means something song to your music towards me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and our version that we played was very Sun Kill Mooney, which was very, very, very much a sonic palette that I was drawing from on the first Bon Iver record. So no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That was a very big moment for us.
Do you consider that when you decide to do it? I don't know how often you guys do covers, but like knowing that the potential weight that it might have, because people, of course, hardcore fans, you know, they're sleuths.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, we haven't done one in a while. I guess every once in a while we do Unchained by Johnny Cash and With God on Our Side by Bob Dylan, but it's been a while. I just feel like those are the only songs that I feel like I can pretend to embody for whatever reason, and as a singer. So it's been a long time, but yeah, doing that Outfield one back in the days might be some of our best cover work, I think.
It's a classic, you know, and I don't mind saying it. There are a few times where you can say the cover is as good as the original, and the cover is as good as the original here.
So. Oh, wow. That's high praise, man. I appreciate you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Justin Vernon of Bon Iver. Speaking of outlier songs, and I hope you don't mind me asking, but where does Exile lay for you? Like, if you've got fans showing up wanting to hear that song, do you guys oblige?
We only ever played it once when Taylor actually just came to the show, and we were like, well, let's do it. And for some personal and sad reasons, I was never able to get out to the couple shows to sing it with her at one of her shows. I'm sad about that. But there's, you know, life is long. Hopefully we'll get another chance. But, you know, I never could sing that song without her. It's her song, you know. I'm extremely proud of it. I mean, it came at a time where I was just by myself out here in this little makeshift studio. And Aaron was like, would you do a song with Taylor? I was like, we already wrote most of it. And there's just this part. And I was like, awesome. And it was right in my range. And I'm really proud of the song. I think it's obviously it's, you know, introduced a lot of people to us probably, and I'm guessing. But yeah, I'm proud of the song. I'm happy to have the Bon Iver name attached to it. It feels very correct.
It's interesting, you know, certain things are out of your hand, how people find you and to come in through Taylor, to come in through Twilight's. And to have them find that stuff. Cause I would feel like if those fans came in through those other doors, and they fell in love with what they were hearing. Like, that's real.
Yeah.
You know.
And, like, I'm sure plenty didn't want it. Didn't want to hear more Bon Iver, but that's okay. That's okay.
Who doesn't want to hear more Bon Iver?
I don't know.
And I'll quickly say, only because we're talking about other people, having Daniel Higham on here, like, you know, we're all such big fans. Just hearing what you all do, it's so beautiful. And how did she end up here?
Well, I became a huge, huge Haim fan. I mean, I always liked their music. But when Women in Music Part 3 came out, I gobbled it up. And I'd met them a number of times throughout the years. But I was listening to nothing but that album for the whole summer, really, like, derangedly. And so Jimmy Stack, who I had started making some music with, for the record, or what would become a record, I wasn't even in record mode really. He mentioned, you know, Danielle would really like to try to work on some music with you. And I was like, that's the only person that I would want to play music with right now. So they came out and we got snowed in my little studio here, and made what would become If Only I Could Wait, and even she's on I'll Be There as well. And just one of my favorite people ever, and one of my favorite musicians. I think Haim's my favorite American band, man. I mean, they're just such a huge fan.
Well, you guys sound great together. The album sounds incredible. Seriously, congrats on these cowboy songs that you've given us. And thank you so much
Appreciate
for
you.
taking the time, man. It's been so great to catch up.
Absolutely. Yeah, you too, man. I appreciate the support. Thank you, Kyle.
And my thanks to Justin Bonavere's Sable Fable is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you get new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Sean Colvin, The Smithereens, Ty Siegel, Primus, Alice in Chains, The B-52s, The Smashing Pumpkins, Wellwater Conspiracy, Tina Turner, Cage the Elephant, Spoon, Joan Osborne, Mia Jovovich, Lucius, Panchico, Simon and Garfunkel, The Beatles, and my interview with Black Francis of Pixies. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Later, later.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.